can start the growth process of the church in excellence, it'll finish in excellence. And so that's what we're after, right? Are you ready for the word this morning? Friday night at all-night prayer, we didn't have a very large group, but we reset ourselves to pray. And we prayed for several hours. And it was like we were getting this area and we weren't getting breakthrough, And a few times I thought, I'm going to just shut it down. I had already promised my family I would go to Cincinnati with them on Saturday. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, keep praying. Don't let the obstacles win, the opposition. So we kept praying, and it was probably around, oh, I don't know, close to 2 o'clock, that all of a sudden, boom, I got a breakthrough. And in fact, everybody was commenting about how it seemed like they were just reaching a point they couldn't get past. And I hit a point where all of a sudden I started hearing. And the Lord started speaking to me about some stuff going on that's come against this church. In fact, it was actually went along with something I had spoke to Pastor Callahan about Wednesday at the pastor's meeting that everybody was in full agreement with. And that's that. Since the advance, which what a powerful time at the advance, there's been an assault launched against this ministry in a tsunami wave type fashion. But we're going to speak about waves this morning. And the wave is meant to drown you individually, not realizing it's a corporate thing trying to drown you individually to make you think like, what's the point? What's the point of me trying to serve God? What's the point of me trying to go into revival, trying to be healed, trying to prosper? What's the point of me trying to walk in love? It's trying to steal your hope. And virtually every pastor in a meeting said, we've been experiencing this. And the Lord was speaking to me about it Friday night. To let you guys know today, it's not your circumstances, it's not you, it's the enemy. And here's the word I got. The Lord, I believe, spoke to me that it's time for the warrior in each of us to rise up and refuse to be held back. There's a time when you're going after God, you're going to hit these impasses. It seems like an impasse. That, you know, you feel like you've been giving, haven't seen the breakthrough, or confessing, haven't seen the healing. And so you have to really press in at those times. Having done all to stand ye therefore, right? So you have to press through those times, refuse to quit, keep going to church, keep speaking the word, and you'll see the breakthrough. I mean, if you've been in faith very long, you've had this happen. Amen. But in this case, this being a year of increase, this being, I believe, last year was a pivotal year, this is just a breakthrough year. In this case, the enemy has pulled out all stops with an, if I can't stop him now, I'll never be able to, talking about the church. And it's thrown everything he can at you. You know, some people say, well, it's not about you. Well, in this case, it is. Because if he can stop us individually, he'll stop us corporately. And the assault is made to let up on your discipline or your determination, let up on your pressing in, let up on your confession, your determination, and cause you to let the wave push you back versus stand against the waves. Now again, we're going to talk about waves as we get into this today. And the Lord's saying it's time for you as a Holy Ghost believer to firmly set your feet and refuse to be moved. And keep doing the same things you've been doing, because all waves eventually pass, even if it's a tsunami. Do you follow me? We had prophecies 25 years ago about this revival that was coming. Back in prayer, we would more than 25 years ago, we would see visions of these huge waves coming in and washing away all the stuff on the beaches and causing all this destruction. But we would see revivalists on top of the waves surfing. Much like the motorboat vision that I had. We saw that over 25 years ago. In fact, probably 28 years ago or so. And right now, that tsunami wave is attempting to come in. Chaos is breaking out everywhere. We're seeing it in the natural in this election. I mean, just what took place this weekend in Chicago and Kansas City and around, the devil is absolutely in freak-out mode. And confusion is everywhere. Amen. It's only a outward manifestation of a demonic assault that's hitting. It's trying to, and it's hitting this church, this ministry, trying to make you think somehow you've missed God. Or somehow you've not been disciplined enough, not been in faith enough, and why even bother trying? Am I speaking to anybody this morning? This is across the board pretty much. And it's trying to stop this revival move that's breaking forth in the nation even now. Amen. On the contrary, I believe churches that are missing the mark, or churches that are playing user-friendly, right now are probably experiencing great peace. Why? Because the devil's not threatened by them. And he wants people to feel comfortable where there's no threat to him. That's why you can be in this church where you're really making strides into the power of God. You're learning how to step into the anointing. You come in here and you feel like every devil in hell's jumping on your head. It's because half of them are. He said, I've just got to go somewhere else. So you go somewhere else and you have such peace. This is something God told Pastor Callahan, my goodness, 25 years ago. He's been teaching ever since. That the devil will bring pressure against you, and then when he gets you to a place where he wants you, then he lets up the pressure. You feel like, oh, I feel such peace. This must be where God wants me. No, it's where the devil wants you. God never drives you with oppression. The devil drives people with oppression. So if you're making your decisions based on oppression versus peace, you're going to miss God pretty much every time. Unless your move to get free of the oppression is to praise Him. Because relocation is not the source. Are you following me on this? And so He'll let up the pressure and you'll feel like, oh, it feels so peaceful here. No, it's just a lack of oppression. There's a difference between lack of oppression and genuine God peace. God peace, you feel like you're caught up with Him. Amen. Lack of oppression just means you feel like you can breathe again. And so the enemy's trying to drive people to a place of where the wave has no longer got them buried. And it's a trap. Do you follow me on this? And it's time for the warrior within us to rise up. The warrior is willing to get up and say, I refuse to be moved by this. And pray in tongues. The warrior says, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to speak the word. You can cry if you want to. Just don't move. Now, I'm sharing this morning. In fact, this is really how the Lord gave it to me. Was many times we start speaking about the demonic and what the devil's doing. It's like we're glorifying the devil. And I in no way am glorifying the devil this morning. Because he can't win. I'm letting you know what's going on. And it's not just you. It's a last gasp effort of the enemy to keep you from the harvest, the reward, the blessing, the promotion, everything God has. Now, we declared Robert an elder the other night. I would venture to say, before it took place, he was fighting some major battles. Any truth in that? So there was truth in that. Fist bump. Okay. All right, there we go. Fighting some major battles. What was happening to him, he's trying to get him to stop, to let up, not to press in any further. Why? Right before the promotion. It's the way he operates. And God has major blessings in store for us. Amen. Now, I taught a lesson at the Geek Conference in Illinois last week on waves and wave theory. And as I was seeing the tsunami wave, I felt the Lord instruct me to teach it here this morning. Amen. See if I had any other notes on that from Friday night. Other than scriptures. Why do you believe that Paul said in 2 Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier? See, in Christianity, even in the faith church, we have this mindset it all should be easy. We shouldn't have any battles. Well, Paul never taught that. He taught having done all to stand ye therefore, right? Scripture says, you've not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. In other words, even in Paul's day, in Jesus' day, Peter's day, where Peter said, resist the devil and he will flee, they knew that Christianity was not a cakewalk. It was a warfare. And if you're looking for, you know, a place of no battle within Christianity, the only way you get there is by compromising with the enemy. Or overcoming him. Now there's a time we're going above the snake line on the mountaintop where the enemy can't touch us. We've talked about that, right? We're going up this mountain. There's a time we get above where he can even get a hold of us or touch us. But until that time, you got to battle your way through. You got to consider yourself going through dense underbrush. Say that you're battling up the mountain. Well, it's an amazing thing that on these snow-capped mountains where no snakes can live, many times at the base of the mountain is tropical. It's tropical down. As you go up, it gets colder, right? Air gets thinner. But at the base, it may be total dense underbrush. And on the way to get to the mountaintop, there's a time you got to pull out your machete and just start chopping everything in front of you. How do you do that? I refuse to lay down and bow down to this. I refuse to run. And you war your way through. No weapon formed against me prospers. I cannot be defeated and I won't quit, right? It's time to become determined to win. Because this level of attack may be stronger than you've experienced before. Or the screaming of the enemy. In other words, you're not, how can I put this? It's not that you're being so attacked with symptoms that you can't move. Some of you may have some symptoms connected to it. It's a mental assault. It's a mental bombardment that says, you can't win, you can't do it, you'll never make it. Everybody's missed God and it's going to fail. You might as well just go live your life like a normal person. It's trying to get you out of revival. And you got to be determined that even though it may be unlike you've experienced in the past, because there's always going to be attacks greater than you've known in the past or challenges in faith. And you got to always let your experience cause you to rise up to another level and battle through it. Well, I didn't know it'd be like this. I didn't either. I didn't know when God told me to quit my job 23 years ago, this month, 23 years ago, that I was going to be, you know, fighting some of the same battles or you know, trying to get to that place of explosion that I've been believing for 23 years? I didn't know that. But guess what? We can't quit. In fact, I believe it was Thursday night I mentioned this. The enemy was just trying. I'm saying this because I've also been being hit. There's been a few days I thought, get on a motorcycle and drive south till you don't need heavy clothes. I've had these hit. Just go. And I say, devil, if I was still, here's what the conference, because I felt like going. Just with some hits that have hit. The mental bombardment. And I've had to say, devil, if I was to quit or run, I would never be able to face my God again in full faith. I would know that I was missing his assignment. So you stupid pointy-tailed blankety-blank, I'm not quitting. So Thursday night we're in service and quite a few people were missing. And I understand that. But there were some here. And the Lord said, don't look at how many people are coming. Impart to them and watch me change them. And just like Jesus took 12 and changed the world. Watch what I do with the ones that want to receive. Now again, if you weren't here Thursday night, it's not that you're not going to be changing the world. That was just the word God gave me for that moment. You follow me? So I'm not trying to condemn anybody with that. The point is, the enemy is attacking everyone. And it's time for the no-lose mentality to rise up. I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose at Parcheesi. I don't like to lose at Candyland. Double red square, come to me now, you know. I don't like to lose. But I refuse to lose to the devil. If I know he's coming against me, I'm going to confront it. So this morning is to educate you that you are being assaulted by an enemy that wants to drown you. Now, we talked about being attacked by a tsunami wave. And so that brings us to talking about waves for a little bit. So let me draw a wave up here. There's a wave. Never mind. And we're missing out of the chalkboard because I sewed it to the Illinois church. It's amazing how many things in creation operate by waves. We have sound waves. How many of we speak with sound waves? Electricity. Alternating current moves in the form of a wave. Light rays take the form of a wave. In fact, most of the basic building blocks of our creation has some type of waveform connected to them. So I'm going to draw a wave. And we'll just call this a general sine wave. With a wave, this height represents the amplitude of a wave. We'll call it the volume if we're talking about sound, right? This distance from there to there is the wavelength. How fast these waves are passing will represent the frequency. And so this is a pattern of what I call a sine wave. It takes the form of a trigonometric function of a sine, S-I-N-E. Of course, we use it as a S-I-G-N sign. And most of creation, as I said, follows the form of a wave. And the devil's effort is to drown you with these waves. of oppression and is screaming in your ear to get you to go under. In fact, I can tell my chalkboard's smaller. Grab an eraser here. Remember when we taught Dr. Quantum and a wave form of light? Amen. Things operate by waves. Well, in waves, if I have a wave that looks, we'll draw a little smaller one. If I have a wave that takes that form, let's say I superimpose upon that wave a wave just like it. So I take a second wave and I place it on this wave, or just say it's of the same size. And this, where a wave starts, is considered its phase. So if I take two waves that are identical and I start them at the same point, the same phase, like two water waves start at the same place or come together, the result is a wave of twice the size. In other words, they combine. Amen. And this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring you under a wave attack. And as he gets you speaking in agreement with the attack, it doubles the impact against your life. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm in Psalm 22. Wrong book. 2 Samuel 22. And verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, what happened to David? He was delivered. Now, we're not going to read the whole psalm to read about the deliverance, but I want you to see the level of the attack. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Now, here David, he's throwing at everything he can think of about God's protective ability. He's my rock, my fortress, my high tower. He's everything. In other words, he's doing one of those prayer downloads. Do you know what I'm speaking about? When you're getting hit by the enemy and all of a sudden you just start speaking everything you can think of. It's praise time. You're going to praise God for everything you can. Father, I thank you for the air and the ground and the birds and the sky. I thank you for my high tower, my strong fortress, my shield, my buckler, and you will I trust. You're just doing a download, which is what it sounds like David is doing here. And he says, you're going to deliver me. You're going to save me from violence. Verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You can see that as you call upon God for deliverance, praise is a major part of that. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I shall be saved. Say this. I shall be saved. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God's already promised us the victory. But then he says this, verse 5. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, in other words, surrounded me, the snares of death prevented me, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. God is mad when the enemy touches you.
Right.
He'll shake the earth and the foundations of the earth to bring forth your deliverance. But notice the level of attack. Waves of death. The enemy wants to kill you with waves of death. Now again, the enemy brings attacks, and we've discovered this, and it's been confirmed for years, and if you'll think about it, you'll know it's true. He brings attacks in waves. He doesn't have the resources to bring continual attack against you. Plus, he doesn't have the ability to stand against the Word of God when you speak it. So verses bring to everybody a low-level attack. He targets people to bring them waves, overflowing attack. But because it's a wave, it's limited in duration. The enemy cannot, I'm going to get you involved in this, they cannot. The enemy cannot sustain an attack against you unless you get an agreement with the attack. These are waves that are trying to kill you. And if you will learn to stand your ground, the wave will pass. But if you speak in agreement with the wave, nothing goes right for me. I just can't take any more. I'm going to die. I feel like such a failure. Whatever you might be speaking, you're compounding the effect, and it has the potential of keeping you underneath that oppression. The Bible says oppression makes a wise man mad. It should make you angry to be under attack. Amen? It should infuriate you to think that the devil's going to try to touch you, because it infuriates your God. God is in wrath, means infuriated. God's infuriated when the devil touches you. But it's necessary we call upon Him, we praise Him to battle through these attacks. So the attacks come in waves. Let me ask a question. How many in the past have ever been in an attack before the one you're under now? Just lift your hand. Did it pass? You want to know how to gauge the power of an attack against you? How much you could care less if you even lived? Got quiet. I'm not talking about suicide. I'm just talking about how you just don't care. How much you care whether you live life or not. Well, your favorite TV show's coming on. I don't care. Kentucky's about to play. I don't care. That's serious stuff around here, isn't it? The new superhero movie's going to come out. I don't care. They're going to do 10 more Star Wars sequels. I don't care. That's evidence of an attack against your soul of oppression. Because if the attack wasn't there, you do care. When the attack is not there, you have excitement for life. You have a zeal for life, a joy and expectation every day of what you're going to get to do and experience. I mean, you get excited about The Bachelor coming on for the new season. And I can't understand that one for anything. Amen. This is American Idol's last season. Oh, no. You care. Hopefully not about that, but you care about things. But oppression steals your heart's fire. And you can know whether you're under attack based on how much you're excited about what God's doing, about what even your family's doing, what's going on around you. The number one symptom of an attack, an oppressive tsunami, or just a major wave, is hopelessness. Now, you remember in Scripture where Jesus came to the disciples, He told Peter, He preached from His boat and He said, launch out in the deep for a draw. Remember that story? And Peter says, we fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, a thy word will let down the net. And instead of nets, they let down a net and started to drown, sink the ships around. There were so many fish, they had to bring ships in. Jesus said, if you want to harvest a major harvest, you've got to launch out in the deep. You are never going to go into the full plan of God unless you're willing to launch out in faith in the deep. Unless you're willing to separate from your own plans and purposes and follow what God would have you do. Develop a prayer life, a word life. Amen. Whether you're really willing to go all in for what God's drawing on your heart for, fast and pray even, you'll never launch out in the deep. You'll never see the full plan of God fulfilled. Well, if God wants to move in my life, He'll just move. No. He expects us to move first. The principle of the first step. He wants us to go out in the deep. Remember in Ezekiel 47, the river of God flowing from the temple of God. And the water started out, they were ankle deep. As He went forward, the waters became knee deep, then waist deep. Then there were risen waters, waters to swim in. There were waters over your head. And God's always planned for His end time church to go into the deep waters. The problem is, we always think of these deep waters as going out, you know, into like a swimming pool. Ankle deep water, knee deep water, waist deep water, you know. Waters you kind of got to tread water in. The problem is there waves in this water? These are not still waters. The enemy's stirring things up. Remember when Peter tried to get out of the boat to walk and he saw the wind boisterous? What did he see? He saw the waves. There are waves you're going to experience. So here's what I've discovered, and I'm sure you can agree. If you've ever been to the beach, you go to a beach and there's almost on any beach waves rolling in of different sizes, right? So the kids are going to go out and play on the beach, and you tell the kids, you know, don't go over your knee deep if they're little. Don't go over your, well, the thing is they can be knee deep and a wave come in and hit them waist deep or more. But you know, in knee deep, ankle deep, knee deep water, whatever, you know, the kids ride the skimmers in the ankle deep water. At that shallow water, they're safe. Right? And you know, they can, here comes a wave, or just say your kid's 10 years old, you tell them, you know, don't go out so deep. Well, the thing is, a wave can come in and a 10-year-old will stand and plant their feet and they'll take the hit and be fine. But if you start to go deeper, and we're to go out in the deep, all of a sudden waves start having an impact on you. Waves transfer energy. You start going out where you're getting waist deep, all of a sudden waves hit, now they're knocking you backwards. But that's really not deep enough. Again, 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii with Pastor Bob and Debbie for their anniversary. They invited us. Go figure. And we had a blast. But I was determined to go surf. I'd surfed when I was 29. I'd gone surfing and loved it. Right before I got married, went to California, went surfing. Had a blast. Now, I thought I was going to try it again at 59 and weighing probably about 70 pounds more. And I had a terrible time getting on that board. In fact, I knew that if I was going to get on the board, I had to get out in the deep water where there's some big waves. Because I found out if I tried to get on the board in a shallower water on a surfboard, by the time I got on my knees and started to get up, I was out of water. I was up to the beach. Because used to be I could just grab it and jump up and step up. You know, now it was like, boom, I'm out of real estate. If I stayed on it, which was, you know, the exception. But I was out for a few hours, I was determined I was gonna get on that board. And so I knew I had to get out there and the pro surfers were out there further down and they're riding these huge waves now, so I gotta get out there with the big waves. And it was funny, I'm surfing. And as I'm out there trying to surf, They lined up the entire shore patrol with these jet skis right behind me, ready for an exercise. I think they were waiting for me to go under. They were going to rescue me. I really do. They were there. It wasn't an accident. They were lined up right behind me. I'm the only one out there in my area, and they lined up behind me. Because here's this white-haired guy out there going into deep water. So I knew I had to get under deep water, but that meant I had to go against these huge waves coming in. Now there, if you're waist deep and a wave hits you, it's going over your head. We're talking about these were 6 to 10 foot waves as I got up there coming in. So as I'm going out to deep water, I'm going out to water that it'll be this deep at one moment and over your head the next minute. But I had to get much deeper than that. And so I'm actually a pretty good swimmer, and I'm not intimidated by the water. Grew up scuba diving. And so I realized I would have to plant my feet when a wave came and stand against the power of that wave. And when it came, it was not just kind of over my head. We're talking about feet over my head. There was no lifting up like this to see over it. It was over your head. And I had to, when I saw it coming, I'd be maybe this deep. I'd plant my feet and take a breath, and the wave would come over my head. I'd stand underwater. Anybody know what I'm speaking about? And the wave would pass. I'd catch a breath and take another step. And I did this all the way out to get to, for one ride, and then to push me back in again and start over again. The point is I knew these were waves. And I knew if I could fix my footing, take a breath, even though it went over my head for a period of time. I'm talking about not just water over your head, I'm talking about a force of water hitting you over your head. I knew I could hold my breath till it passed versus let up and just be washed into shore. You've got to know. And I did get up on it a few times. I didn't ride very far, but I got up on it. I had videos. I told Patty to take some film. She probably took about 100 videos to get me up on one, but you couldn't tell it was me. I was so far out trying to catch this. I was way out there. Couldn't tell who it was. And so you've got to know that when the waves hit, if you just hold your peace, speak the word, it's going to pass. You've been hit in the past and it passed. It's going to pass again. And on the other side is major peace. So here's, if we use this as an example, this really isn't the main point. But let's say this is you standing right here. We'll say this blue wave represents oppression. The wave's over your head. You feel like you can't breathe. And here's what also happens when you're under a wave. When a wave hits, the devil always says, it will last forever and it will never get better. I'm telling you, we've been in this long enough to know. He always says it will last forever and it will never get better. Why bother trying? But if you can survive the wave, guess what? Next thing you know, you're standing so far ahead of above oppression. You have great peace. When Jesus spoke to the waves, remember he spoke to the storm? Storm was about to, the waves were about to sink the boat when they're going to the other side, right? Mark chapter 4. When he spoke to, it says there was a mega storm sent against them. They woke up Jesus, he spoke to the storm, and it says, and there was a mega great peace. On the other side of a great storm is a great promotion. You just got to be willing to stand and not be moved, not be swayed, not be swept aside, right? Uh, Psalm 42. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep. All the glory to God. You got to get into the deep to have deep calling unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and billows are gone over me. Verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why has thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Here the psalmist recognizes the waves are oppression of the enemy. But in the midst of these waves, who he attributes to the enemy, he says, God, why have you forgotten me? That's another voice you hear in the midst of a wave. God's left you behind. He's forgotten you. He's done with you. You're not going to make it. And you've got to be willing to shut that down. Now, we mentioned a while ago with a wave, if you speak in agreement with the wave, it will actually, in other words, you take two waves at the same phase, they combine their size. That's why on the beach, when you're out there surfing, the waves will be of different sizes. Because waves are coming in from different locations, and they compound, and because of mismatch of phase, they form different size waves. There's kind of a surfer saying that every seventh wave is a big one. Now, scientifically, that's not true, but it's a surfer saying. So you can count the waves. And there's a truth. You can start counting and expect a bigger wave to come along in a phase or repetitive type fashion. However, let's say in this case, see, if you are under attack and you're experiencing a wave like this, but you release a sound wave in agreement with it, it just compounds the effect of it. Around people, there are both angels and demons waiting to go on assignment. They're waiting to hear you speak words of authority. And if you're under some type of attack and you say, well, I feel like I'm going to die, you're releasing your authority for death. Amen? I just can't win. You're releasing your authority for defeat. So guess what? It compounds the effect of the demonic against you. You've now given them permission to maintain the assault against you. In fact, for those that get their agreement involved with the attack, they can so get an agreement, it can become a flat wave. Or a flat path. You stay under the oppression. How many have known people that just lived oppressed? We've had people come in here, victim mentality, and tell them, if we can teach you to speak the right things, we can break this attack. Well, you just don't know what's happened to me. My whole life has been a disaster, and I just can never be happy. Well, apparently you're releasing your authority for that, and you're seeing that happen. Our words carry the ability to experience life or death. Death and life's in the power of the tongue, right? So there's the possibility that you stay under the attack if your speech isn't right. However, let's say in this case, and instead of speaking in agreement with the wave, you speak the opposite of it. Devil comes and says, you're sick. You have symptoms of sickness on your body. You say, no, I'm healed. You're releasing an opposite wave to the attack. So if I start speaking the opposite of the attack, I'm forming a wave more like that. And if you were to combine these waves on an oscilloscope, What actually happens when you take two waves together that are of opposite phase but the same size, the result is they actually cancel each other out. So in this case, this leper represents our oppression level. Now we have peace. You have the ability to cancel out the waves of the enemy. Your words are wave breakers in this sea of trouble that the enemy wants to bring against you. Have you ever wondered how a car muffler works? How many of you wonder how a car muffler works? The engineer types and a few others. Yeah. A car muffler, you would think what a car muffler does, it brings the exhaust out, it goes in a muffler, and the muffler's got, you know, like soundproofing on it. We just wrap it with a bunch of soundproofing, and that way it shuts out the noise. That's not how it works. It would just go straight off the tailpipe. I remember when I bought my first Harley Davidson, 1979, March 20. 37 years ago. Rode it off the showroom floor. It had, they only did it this one year. They put on that 1979 Sportster huge mufflers. I mean, they were probably close to 2 foot long and I don't know, 6 or 7 inches in diameter. Huge on each side. Looked hideous. But it was quiet. You started to go, it'd go, you started to go, well, I didn't like the way it looked or sounded. Real men have loud pipes. So I took those mufflers off and bought instead some straight pipes, no mufflers. And that motorcycle went from blah 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 to blah 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 blah. Oh, I loved it, man! I could rattle windows wherever I went because I took the muffler off. All of a sudden, now we have noise. The way mufflers work is they put in, based on the type of design, they put in baffles. And what the baffles do is they, and whichever designation you have, they force the exhaust through different really offset ports. And what it does, it causes the sound waves as they go through those different ports to interfere with each other. So if I had the sound just coming straight through, the sound wave might look like this. But because they go through battles, it forms a whole bunch of sound waves and they end up canceling each other out. Well, that's what our speech has the ability to do. To muffle the voice of the enemy. And to reverse his symptoms. So based on the tsunami you've been experiencing, it's time to warrior up. Can't cry. Can't complain because you don't want to increase the effect. Can't run. I refuse to run. I'm not going to the store right now. Pat and I got confronted on the way home from church Thursday night. You got to be determined to stand your ground and speak the word only. As you do, it cancels the wave. It brings you victory in the situation. I find it interesting that God's speaking to me now again about waves. In fact, the date on these notes I'm looking at are from December 1997, first time I taught this. God's speaking to us again about waves right after we had the roller coaster analogy of last year, which is just a set of waves, basically, right? Launch with a large wave and follow the energy of it all the way through. trying to find where to go to with the time we have. I'll go to Psalm 65. No, I'll take it back. Go to Leviticus. I have enough time just to go here. Leviticus chapter 7. I'm trying to decide whether to teach this over more than 1 week, but really I'm just trying to get a point across this week. I have enough notes here. We could do this about probably a six-part series. That's not my goal right now. Leviticus chapter 7, have you got it? Now, Leviticus starts off with these different offerings. The sin offering, the burnt offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, all the way through. And these offerings are all a type of what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. Amen? He was our sin offering. He was our trespass offering. He was our burnt offering. Amen? He was our peace offering. Every offering represents some aspect of the blessing Jesus purchased for us at the cross. And in chapter 7, talking about the peace offering, let's go to verse number 29. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of sacrifice, of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. Now, there's actually dozens of references to waves in Scripture. How many know it says in James that he that doubts is like a wave driven with the wind and tossed? When you doubt, you let the waves have their way in your life. We might have to do this another week just to get to all this. But here it talks about a wave offering. What they would do in some of the offerings, not just with the breast of the animal they were sacrificing, but there were also grain wave offerings. They would take the breast, they would sacrifice it, and then the man who was making the offering would hold it up to the Lord and wave it. And the representation was God, I recognize the priests are going to eat this offering. It's to them, but it's an offering unto you. I'm holding it up in a representation. This is for you before they receive of it. They're receiving of it on behalf of the Lord. They call it a wave offering. I'm not about to take up another offering. I'm not after your money. I'm just telling you there are times you can bring a wave offering to God to shut down the waves. He said, devil, you think you're going to shut me up, think you're going to stop me? Watch this. I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to sow something to somebody. I'm not going to be held back. I'm not going to be limited. I'm going to find somebody I can get something to. And if you keep it up, devil, I'll bless somebody else double. It's a form of warrior opposition. Do you see this? And we see the wave offering all the way through the Levitical law being introduced here. Whatever the devil's telling you that you can't do, you've got to do the opposite of. The wave of oppression enemy brings is countered by two things. Your speech, which is a sound wave, and your actions that you bring into the situation. And a warrior standard requires you acting and standing on the word, refusing to be moved and speaking against the opposition. And you gotta be willing to get with God and say, God, what can I do to shut this thing down? And He'll tell you. He'll lead you. The main point this morning is the wave you're experiencing is temporal. It's just an attack. It may be bigger than you've known in the past, may not be, but it's momentary. Refuse to be moved by it. Now,